Hello, Mr. Bamise.
Well, hello, Stevie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'm ready to run through more Star Trek because I've been getting so confused that we've been behind an episode.
Yes, this was confusing, and I may have let slip a few spoilers in the last episode's rundown. I apologize for that. But hopefully there were confusing enough spoilers that no one knows what was spoiled.
We shall see. Time shall tell.
Time indeed shall tell the tale that is told today. For time is part of the breakfast that is eaten by the explorers.
If that is an indication of how this episode is going to go, I'm concerned.
It's just a warm-up, just a vocal warm-up that I do a lot. Time is the breakfast that is eaten by the explorers. It's just like a red leather, yellow leather thing.
Is that really a vocal exercise?
No, absolutely not. No, I just couldn't think of a good metaphor for how to get out of time and back into the episode.
Well, let's get into the episode then.
Fantastic.
Set Phasers, a highly illogical Star Trek podcast.
Black leather, yellow leather, black leather, yellow leather. Welcome to Set Phasers, a highly illogical Star Trek podcast. Today's stardate is
1534154.
And because of that, we're talking about Star Trek Discovery, Season 5, Episode 3, entitled simply Janal. See, I got much better.
You did. That was fabulous. I didn't even need to say anything.
Yeah, this episode's got a lot of big lore business, a lot of crossover stuff, and it's all canon, as we say. I'm going to do my best to pronounce these trill words that were thrown around willy-nilly. Even with closed captioning, I can't guarantee I will say them correctly, so please forgive me, or get at me in the comments. Shall we run it down?
It's time to run it down.
Can you run it?
Yes, the mission continues. Now to the planet of Trill, where awaits our next clue, the next piece of the map. And also Gray and Adira have some things to talk about. They haven't seen each other in person. Apparently they've only been hollow hanging in the hollows, as you do. They're still talking about Maul and Locke. We know about Maline now, the daughter of former Cleveland Booker. Cleveland Booker's former Cleveland Booker. Nah, no one. But we don't know anything about this Locke character. We do get the rundown on Maline is that she's been through a lot. Her mother died young. She's been in Emerald Chain lockup. She's a survivor. And the book is sort of respects that and is also hoping to make a connection with her somehow. So they go to Trill to find this next clue. They have the poem from the planet Lyric. And they, having examined it, the metal piece has some dots that conform to Trill spots. And having gone through their database, they find out that these spots correspond to a Trill who lived 800 years ago, same time as the scientist, named Janal Bix, who not only was a Trill, but was a bonded Trill, was a host to a symbiont. There is a very good likelihood that possibly the symbiont is still alive and possibly is bonded with someone. So the away team is going to be Culber, Adira, and Book, because Book insists on going with, just in case. Remember that former Captain Rayner, now First Officer Rayner, is on the ship. He has the con. Michael encourages the grumpy Rayner to have
interviews with everyone on the crew. He's like, I've read everyone's book. I know everything about their files and I don't need to talk to them. And Michael's like, you should get to know this crew. This is how we operate on the Discovery. Rayner agrees to do this as an order. Deera has some trepidation about going to Sea Gray and has apparently had somewhere between 2 to 5 Ractogenos in preparation with that. Stamets, however, is sort of clueless as to this apprehension. And fortunately, Reno is the one talking to Adira and is able to bring Stamets around to the fact that perhaps something is going to happen, calling him Space Dad, that he should be more on top of what's going on with his space child. Before they're able to beam down to the planet, however, they are told that they must answer this riddle one by Guardian Z. And the question is simply, Guardian Z knows nothing about what they're looking for. He simply knows that the new Bix has been guarding this information for 800 years, and anyone who wants to get this information from them has to answer this question. And the question is, where does the fourth point? What? But they are quick to realize that the poem that was on Lyric, remember, had 4 stanzas, and they had to find the hidden fifth one. And when they only had 4 stanzas, it seemed like the clue is saying they should go to Beta Z. But when they found the fifth one, they realized they should go to Trill. So, 4 stanza pointed to Beta Z. That is confirmed true. The symbiont is revealed to be alive, now Kalzara Bix. They will transport to the caves of Malkala. And there, in order to get the information, they can't get it just from Kalzara Bix. Janal would like to share the information directly, so we'll need to do the ritual of Ajintara. I hope that was correct. Or was it just Ajintara? Is it just Jintara?
It's Jintara.
So they're warned by the Guardian that Jintara is an extremely emotionally overwhelming experience. And Culber volunteers, saying that that's what they do best. Adira and Gray are making eyes, but they're not really talking. And there's a whole bunch of business going on there that maybe will have to be sorted out later. Meanwhile, back at Starfleet headquarters, Saru and Trina are... Saru's moving into his new offices or his new quarters. It's hard to tell because everything is covered in plants. Trina brings a gift of a new plant. They talk about this meeting that they're about to have. Saru says that he's about to advocate a controversial opinion at the meeting. And Trina is assured that he will execute himself with the usual aplomb. They also discuss their engagement announcement, which will be going out later that day. But there's Trina's Vulcan. Vulcan? I'm not sure.
I think she is Vulcan, yes.
And then her assistant, Mr. Duven, is also a Vulcan. He's there. And if you've been watching Star Trek as long as we've been watching Star Trek, you can tell when a Vulcan is nonplussed. And upon receiving the information that the engagement notice should go out that very afternoon, Mr. Duven is indeed nonplussed. Back to Trill, Adira and Gray begin to talk, and they want to, you know, talk to each other, and they haven't seen each other in person and get to know what's going on there on Trill and how Adira's been doing. But Gray says they also have some things that they should talk about as a couple. Before they're able to do that, the ritual of Jintara begins. And yes, Janal takes over the body of Dr. Culber. Really have to give it up for this brusque cowboy of a Trill Janal, who's sort of like very, I don't know how to describe it. He's got a real John Wayne-ness about him. And Dr. Culber's physicality and voice change entirely in order to do this. Says, Janal, I don't have the clue. I hid it somewhere up in the mountains or whatever. And they're like, great, well, we have personal transports now. We can just go straight to where it is. And he's like, I don't know what the coordinates of where it is. I just know how to get there. So y'all just follow me and it's going to be a long walk. And he's like, and it'd be great to walk in this in a body again. I haven't had a walk in a long time, Janal says. Back at the committee meeting, in Starfleet headquarters, Saru has voiced his revision that he would like to have happen regarding the security of these sort of outer planets. It is supported by Trina, and then there is a recess called. Once again, Mr. Duven looks not pleased with things. You really have to read the microfacial movements of these Vulcans. But he then goes to Saru and says, can they talk in private? And basically gives Saru this rundown that, listen, there's some issues back on Navarre with the Vulcan purists. they maybe are not super into this marriage with a foreigner of another species. Tarina's already having these issues. This announcement today could only make things worse. And if she's now supporting you in these counselor chambers, it could put her political future in danger. And he makes sure to stress for Saru that that should be the case. And apparently sort of going around Tarina. Back on Trill, Janal is really enjoying their walk, but has brought them to canyons that are the hunting ground of a big predator called the Itranach. It's a bipedal predator. It's a bipedal predator about three times the height of Book. We later find out that they're giant, angry, plasma-flinging fly monster? Eater monster? Like fly bear?
Fly bear.
They look like flies, right? They look like house flies, but they puke plasma and they are carnivorous.
Like darts or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, darts. Some kind of crazy darts. Mm. Oh, yeah, they have weird darts. It's, whoa, this one was
real crazy. Maybe it's like a mouth sting animal. Dart thing.
But this, I'm jumping ahead. Okay, let's get back to in there. They're enjoying the walk. The predators are roaring around them. Janal says, the answers might cost your lives. Are you willing to do that? Because this is how important this discovery is. And then we get a rundown of some lore. Apparently, 800 years ago, the Federation brought together six scientists secretly to deal with the progenitors, the researching the progenitors. It was Janal, Dr. Velik, and four other scientists who were both Federation and non-Federation. Janal says, I won't tell you their names. The mission was to research the progenitors and their messages. It led them to a section of deep space where they found the tech, and one of their group tried to activate the tech, which ended up killing them. This made the group make a pact to keep everything secret. They scrubbed themselves from the records. They did this whole treasure hunt thing that they're doing now. And when Michael inquires why they didn't just bring it to the Federation at the time, it is revealed that this discovery was discovered during the Dominion War, when Starfleet was fairly desperate in self-preservation, and perhaps revealing this power, it could have fallen, it could have been used wrongly or indeed fallen into the wrong hands. So they didn't want to give it to the Federation. Back on the ship, Raynor's supposed to be doing his meetings, but he's not going to meet everyone. He is researching Mom and Locke. He's tracking their movements, even though Zora's doing it. And he's going to have everyone come to meet him. Tilly is helping him with this, and his meetings are not going well. He gives everyone basically 20 words to tell them something about him that he doesn't know. We do have a question from episode one answered in this. We find out that Commander Reese is the one who has a pet tribble, but that it has been neutered or something? Is that what he says?
Yes.
But what is it? Tribble just have run of the ship? Because we saw it just like in one of the hallways. But anyway, I guess that explains the tribble.
Was it Reese or Nilsen?
Oh, I think it was Reese, according to my notes. But I could be... No, it's Reese. It's Reese. Nilsen gave something to... Gave the tribble to Reese, maybe?
Yes, Nilsen gave Christopher the tribble.
Yes.
So who owned the tribble initially? Never mind. This
I don't know. I don't know how they got the tribble.
Pedantic.
I don't know. This is the trouble. This is quite literally the trouble with tribbles. Yes. Anyway, we have an answer to the tribble question. Tilly is not pleased with how First Officer Raynor is conducting his interviews, but she's not really able to say anything too forward because he's sort of unwilling to let her speak freely. Back down on the planet, Gray and Adira talk. They actualize that things are different between them. It's a big change from having been literally linked together, and they decide that maybe they have to break up and they'll always be there for each other, but this relationship is no more in that sense. Back on the trail with Janal, Janal reveals that like the scientists, Janal and Michael and Book in their discussions about this thing, it's revealed that yes, the scientists obviously wanted someone to find that power. Otherwise they wouldn't have left all these clues and made the treasure hunt or whatever. But Janal does reveal that they wanted the seeker to be someone who seeks peace, and they wanted to be during peacetime. And Michael assures him it is peacetime, but you can't guarantee that it will last. And that's when they discover that there's been a fresh kill by the Itranach. And they say, oh, they're getting closer. So eventually Janal brings them to this sort of little canyon area. He says, look there, there's the rock. They see the symbol on the rock. He says, if you go in that rock and then there's a thing underneath and that's where the clue is hidden. And then an Itranok jumps in and interposes. And Janal's like, we gotta get out of here. You gotta come some other day. These things are gonna kill us. And Janal bounces. Book tries to connect with it. It does not want to connect. Michael says, we got to get to that rock. So Book tries to draw their fire and he does so. But then there's a second Itranok and Book gets hit with one of the weird pew 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 things. And what I was going to say was that this was the teaser trailer from months ago. This action sequence, as I recall, it was just Book and Michael fighting a big fly. I don't know what to call it. Fly dragon? Anyway.
Fly bear?
Book gets hit. Fly bear. It makes me think of Flaubert, the writer, which just seems ridiculous to say. Yeah, we're going to call them fly bears for now. And so they're in trouble there. They take shelter, but they are being surrounded and it's hard to get out. And they're unable to teleport away even when they try to because they're too close to the rocks and so on and so forth. And they're still like, we had to get that clue, but maybe we should come back later if these things are really going to attack us. Back on the ship, Raynor finally is continuing to have his brusque meetings with everyone. Finally, Stamets comes in, and Stamets is excited beyond all belief because he's been researching the progenitor's tech, and he's realizing something that Reno said, of course, jogged his memory, the idea of half-life, and he said there's significant decay of numerous isotopes, but by using that to track back, he's able to realize this power could be something that could, like, if it can create life, it could possibly even reanimate dead organisms. And Stamets is super excited, and Raynor doesn't really care, and Stamets is water off Stamets' back. Also water off Reno's back when Reno has her interview. But then Tilly's like, you know what? Forget it. I'm laying into you. If you're not gonna take this seriously, I'm out of here. Saru goes to try and speak to Tarina based on Mr. Duvin's apprehensions. He suggests postponing. Tarina sees through this immediately. Saru puts his foot in his mouth, and then Tarina has to go away to do some work, and Saru wonders. He's left alone holding his teacup. Meanwhile, Michael and Book, who are trying to find their way out of there, discover that they're actually it's a nest. There's eggs. There's an Itranok nest of eggs there that obviously these animals are trying to protect, and they came there with their phasers out. Actually deliberately, because Janal told them, take your phasers out because we're in Itranok territory. So Michael walks out of cover, puts a phaser away to show that they're not a threat. Book is able to communicate. They'll just have to find another way to get the clue. They manage to be let go by the Itranoks. They catch up to Janal on a ridge who's lying on a rock. Of course, it was all a test. Ha 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 ha. And he has the map piece with him. And he gives it to them, and he said, hey, if you had failed, I would have let you die. Yeah, that's right. That's how important all this is. But now they have the second piece. Saru goes to Tarina to apologize. Trina's like, it's fine. Saru was freaked out because he's never had this kind of argument with someone with whom he was in love. And Trina's like, yeah, that's what you have arguments. That's what happens. Nothing to be afraid of. And Saru is like, you know what? Though I trust you to do what you got to do, Tarina says Duvin may be right about the announcement, causing people like the purists to be upset, but hiding it would be even worse, eroding trust. And that is just part of the political landscape on Navarre. Back on Trill, Janal leaves Culber. Culber is thanked by, oh no, the name Calzara. You thought I wouldn't find it. Michael does warn the Guardians that it's possible that because Malinlok have been tracked back, going back to Lyric, that now they've found the fifth line and that they might be coming to Trill. And Guardian Z says, not to worry, we are two taking them on, and they all go back to Disco. Another little clue. This is not an Easter egg, but we find out what the bar is called. It's called Red's, where Tilly is having a drink and Raynor comes to talk to her and sort of apologize, but yes.
So I believe, or I'm surmising that Red is the name of the Ferengi bar owner.
I think that might be true. It's Red's bar, like Quark's
bar.
It's called Red's. Hey, I love it. They have a discussion about the idea of leadership versus friendship and respect versus distance, so on and so forth. And once again, Tilly leaves Raynor to his thoughts. She has given him much to think about. He chews it over. Culber and Michael have a discussion about Culber's experience with the Gintara. They're jumping to the coordinate from the new clue, but it's in... but it's in Zangethi space. And so there, that's not Federation space. There's some diplomatic red tape that has to be taken care of. Culber is wondering at the experience of the ritual. It reminds him of his grandmother, his abuela, who was also a doctor, but had a home filled with religious icons from various religions. As a reminder that not everything has to have an answer. But both Michael and Culber are sort of ambivalent about that, saying like, you know, this might be giving us the answers. This is what this seeking is. And then there seems to be a ritual happening back in the cave. Perhaps it is the Bix symbiont being let free or something like that. But Gray gives a speech. Perhaps it's a graduation of sorts. And while that is happening, we see Book looking at a hollow of Maul. We see Saru and Trina having reconciled and gardening. We see Culber considering his experience with the Shintara. We see Raynor still at Red's contemplating on how he is maybe not connected with his crew as he's seeing them there at Red's enjoying themselves. Stamets adds the clue to the map clue holder box. Michael is engaging in Vulcan meditation in order to center herself. A symbiont goes into the waters. Everyone is, oh, thanks, happy. They do their trill hugs, which is like touch the arm and nod at each other. And one such trill in the red hood, face hidden, does that with Adira. And we see perhaps a tracker being added to her suit. And as they turn towards the camera and walk away, we see that it was, in fact, Maul in disguise. What? Yeah, well, they decided to go with... Okay, anyway, here endeth episode 3 of season 5 of Star Trek Discovery, entitled Janal. Let's have a little chat about that.
I say, darling. Let's do a quick chat about that.
Yes, 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 let's do.
Well, hell of an episode.
For sure. It was. Did you feel that there was a little bit too much going on with like 4 different storylines?
It felt like after episode 2, things were going to start to just kind of settle, but instead we're getting like, yeah, the 4 different timelines. But I think they wanted to sell the Adira Gray situation. It seemed like a good opportunity to do that. And I thought they did a pretty good job, but there was a lot happening, especially with jumping back to Federation space and all that stuff. But I think these are all critical things. Raynor and his integration with the crew and Saru. And now we sort of have to worry about these Vulcan purists and Tarina and Saru and their marriage and all that business, which, listen, call me a tin foil hat, bleeding heart romantic, but I'd love to see season 5 end in wedding bells or whatever Vulcans use.
Could you play something for that?
Oh yeah. I don't have my keyboard here. I'm sorry. Otherwise I'll
put that
play,
in post then. But
yes. Anyway, that's my prediction there. We'll end with the wedding. And I also, the big thing here was this lore drop that 800 years ago during the Dominion War, these 6 scientists, not only Federation, but like from all around the world. I mean, a Romulan scientist and a Trill, they found this technology. One of them died trying to activate it. It was too powerful and decided to hide it away, but not entirely.
Waiting for the right person to come along?
Person, the right seeker, someone from the past. But also, Stamets dropping that this could bring people back to life is kind of weird.
Yeah, that was sort of just dropped quickly and dismissed by Raynor. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Are we supposed to dismiss that too? Not sure.
It just makes me think so many things because we know that one of the other side stories was Hugh being Janal. And we know Hugh is a dead person who came back to life.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a whole thing. That's like a whole thing. So, and to have all that in the same episode seems to live.
Does seem like a Trek trope of its own.
Seems like a Trek trope.
And this Trek trope.
Wait, do we have?
Was. Which Trek trope would you have given to this episode?
Which Trek trope would I have given to this episode? What would I even call it? But it's, you know, the one where someone else is someone's old memories, you have to live their life.
Maybe. So you could go with the Picard one. That was like your favorite episode when he goes, to the beacon and then he lives a life as someone else.
Yes, that's exactly what I don't. What would we call that trope?
I don't know. I was thinking it might be more of like a body snatcher type trope.
Ooh, that's I don't want it to get, that was the thing. I don't want to confuse it with a transporter accident
right.
trope, which is
yeah.
always super fun. But yes, this was like someone takes over your body to teach you a lesson about a forgotten thing.
I was thinking like TNG masks. You know, the one with Data?
Yes.
Where he's the weird, like, Aztec yes. type god.
Precisely.
So weird.
Yes. This is it. This was big trap tropes. So weird. Hey, it was the 80s.
That jumping the shark?
The what? The
masks.
The Data one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen. No, because it all worked out. I mean, yes. Was it? I don't think it was jumping the shark. I don't think it was jumping the shark. There, if we're gonna talk about episodes of TNG where the shark was jumped, there are other contenders. I don't think we have time. We're not chatting about that right now, but we could.
We could.
There's some. Every franchise has a what episode?
Yeah. Oh, I like to call it the beard episode. With
the beard episode, very good.
Well,
wait,
from,
you're talking about like
oh for fuck's sake.
What the
it's
hell?
It's an Apple thing.
Oh.
Like in Ted Lasso. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
Yes. Yes, I
yeah,
do.
Yeah. You know, where there was that one beard episode where he goes off into the middle of the night and like has a completely weird experience.
Yes.
We call that the beard episode. The weird beard episode.
The weird beard episode. You get like a side character going off on a huge journey of discovery.
And it almost doesn't fit with the rest of anything. And it's just.
It has nothing to do with. Yeah.
No.
Yes. Although, but whatever. What's the Picard one with the. I think of it as the Penny Whistle episode. It's called like Remembrances of Time's Future Past, but I get it confused with a million fantasy novels. But yes, that was a, oh, we're going to watch Star Trek episode. And then you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
For 45 minutes. And then you're like, wow, was that the greatest episode of Star Trek that ever happened?
And like, you're waiting for your regular characters to come in and they're not there.
Yeah. Are they going to show up? You know, are we going to get Troy? Is she going to like, reach out to his mind through the thing. No, it's just like a totally different story.
Mm. Well,
shall we go to the Easter egg
yes!
desk? Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We go now immediately to the Easter egg desk with Stevie Man. Stevie, how are you today?
Well, hi there, Aki. Hello, it is a pleasure to be back on the Easter egg desk. It is my favorite desk. There's lots of chocolate Easter eggs for us to pick through here on the Star Trek Discovery set. Ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
We just touched on Trek trope. And also, I think Deep Space Nine, at the episode Facets, introduced the Jintara ritual through which Trill hosts find closure for their symbiotes, spreading host personalities to others. So, and we also had lots of nods to DS9 in this episode, nods to Tongo and Bynars, along with some deeper cuts to Selay and Vavinit plants, Slug-O-Cola, boar worms.
That I don't recall.
Mm.
Oh, boar worms.
Boar worms, yes.
Yes.
Okay. So lots of things for DS9 fans to pick through on this particular episode of Discovery. There was also a moment at the beginning, and I picked up on this and I had to look it up because I was like, what is this? So as we're coming into the episode, we get this pan of the USS Lockerer. And I thought it was a Scottish word. It could be seen at Starfleet Command HQ. And it was named in honor of camera operator J.P. Lockerer, who passed away in 2022.
Oh, well, that's very
nice. It was a nice way to honor somebody. The previously unnamed bar, as we mentioned, is called Red's, possibly for our Ferengi bartender, who got their first line in this episode.
Indeed.
The Os Nullis Bridge officer, we learn his name is Lieutenant Arev. Yeah. And let's see, Lieutenant Christopher also confirmed that Commander Nilsson had been reassigned to the USS Voyager J. And I was curious. We had Gallo and Asha on the bridge, and I didn't understand why Owo and Detmer weren't there.
It was a curious thing. We heard Owo mentioned a bunch
yes.
of times. We saw Owo in the first episode briefly, I think.
And Detmer.
But yeah, Owo was like mentioned a lot, but not seen this episode.
Yeah.
I wonder if
weird.
The actors didn't come back.
But they did.
For the reshoots or
something? Maybe for the reshoots.
And so they had to like make these reasons. Maybe they couldn't, they were in other obligations. So they're like, oh, and Detmer are just right off screen here.
Yeah. You make a very good point. Well, I think the only other thing that I had was there were more Breen mentions in this episode. So I'm wondering where this is going and how it's all going to tie into the bigger picture. But
yeah.
that's pretty much all the Easter eggs I had. There were all the DS9 stuff, and as you know, it's not my biggest. It's not my favorite.
It's not your biggest thing, but we gotta talk. If they're gonna get into Dominion War stuff, things could get real weird real fast.
Indeed.
So we'll see how strange they want to get.
Mm.
Because if you want to talk about jumping the shark contenders, Benjamin Sisko basically turns into a demigod at the end of, spoilers, DS9. A demigod that can't reach out to the actual universe and lives in a place where there's no time. In a wormhole. So, things get weird.
Well, anyway, that is it for me here on the Easter Egg Desk. It is back to you in the studio.
Fantastic. Great work as always. I loved Easter eggs. And now, on to quotable moments.
Quotable moments.
You're going to try the episode.
Quotable moments.
You were very close.
I was very close.
You were very close.
Thanks.
That's very funny.
I was like, I can't find the thing. Oh, well, I'll just do it.
So many wonderful, wonderful quotes in this episode.
Many.
I knew as soon as we saw Jan Reno, I was like, oh, God.
Jet Reno?
Jet Reno. I just said Janet Reno.
You did.
We didn't see Janet
did
Reno.
Not. Who's Janet Reno?
Janet Reno was the Secretary of State under Bill Clinton.
Oh.
It's possible that I really? Remember seeing an interview where they said that was part of the reason for the name.
Oh.
It was like Joan Jett and Janet Reno.
Didn't know that. Okay.
But I might have dreamed that too. That's a, I have no confidence. Anyway, Jet Reno is who we
yes.
saw, and I knew that there would be many quotes. I assume you have a few?
Yes, the Jet Reno. Last time I did this, they gave me chips.
Oh,
so good.
So dry.
So dry. Love a Jet Reno quote. That was a Jets Jabs.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Jets Jabs!
Wow. Oh!
I do not remember making that.
I don't remember the punch sound at the end or
whatever.
Because
it's like a jab.
Oh, it's a jab, all right. Yeah, but let's get ready to rumble. It's a jab. It's a boxing.
Yeah.
I also liked Jet saying, everyone's on a journey. We come together. We come to part. We come apart. Wow, I just sounded like a woo-woo asshole.
Yeah, I like that too. Oh, emotionally overwhelming is what I do best.
So
Dr.
Great.
Culber.
And that is so true for Dr. Culber. I liked the conversation between Tilly and Rayner. Tilly says leadership and friend. Oh, who says? Someone says leadership and friendship are two different beasts. Oh, that's what Tilly says. And then Rayner says respect has to be earned. That's how he talks in my head. And Tilly said, I agree, sir. And that goes both ways. Mm. And then she bounces with a drink. Think about that.
Think about that. Analyzing is not the same as connecting. Connection isn't a skill. It's a choice.
Mm. Yes.
Love that.
Trina also saying when Saru apologizes and is worried about the conflict, conflict is a natural part of any relationship, not to be feared.
Mm, I quite enjoyed. It is unclear to me what would have given you the impression that I need a caretaker.
Oof. I mean, listen, I know that they're Vulcans, but they're very British. That was a very British get the fuck out of my face.
Exactly.
It is unclear to me. I mean, whew. Yeah.
And then the storm off, the Vulcan storm off.
Yes. Put the tea down and then say, I have other things to attend to. I mean, I said good.
Basically, like, I'm done with this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Conversation over.
Peace.
I'm out. Truly a mic drop.
Mm.
A mic drop by Trina. That was very, very cool.
I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
So, Rayner invites the crewmen in and says, reveal something interesting about yourself in 20 words or less.
Yes. Oh, no.
Yes.
You're going to want me to do that?
Yes.
Reveal something about myself in 20 words or less. No one besides my close friends from high school knows that I am a capable song and dance man. Is that 15 or 20? Then that's 20.
Great. Good yeah. job.
Listeners, I don't want that getting out.
I would argue that a lot of people know that you're very capable at song and dance, given that...
People know that I can sing. They don't know that I once tread the boards, that I can do a little, you know, box step, a little, you know what I mean?
Well, I've seen you dance, but you're right. I wouldn't have said I knew that you were capable.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, are you going to take this challenge, Stevie? 20 words? Yeah. What, do you think I wasn't going to throw it back?
Usually Star Trek is the thing that people don't know about me.
Well, the people on this podcast don't know that.
All right. Well, I'll reveal myself. Let's see. Something interesting about myself. I used to knit scarves as Christmas presents because I couldn't afford to buy them when I was a student. 20.
20?
Yep.
And now, of course, it's summer, so I can't find... You knitted me a scarf.
Did I?
Didn't you in my... Or did you buy that? No, you must have knitted it.
Oh, fuck. It. I don't...
That was in the suitcase.
Shit. Did I knit that?
I think so. It was, or crochet.
Oh, no. I bought that. It's been a while. No. I bought that. Because that's the Wesley Crusher style scarf.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Oh, no, I did not know.
I might have... As you know, I tend to invent things.
I appreciate that you thought I knitted it.
Do you still think you have the skills? How long has it been?
Oh, at least a decade.
It's like riding a bike.
Ugh. I mean, knit purl, and then move back, knit purl. Wow. Well, we both learned something new.
I think those are all the quotes that I have.
Shall we move on?
Let's move on to next time. Next time on Set Phasers. Hey, next time on Set Phasers, we're going to talk about episode 4 of Star Trek Discovery, the title of which I looked up and is no longer in front of me. But it's called Facing the Strange, I want to say. Anyway, sounds strange. I guess we're going to get Yankee. Here's the problem with these new Star Trek races. They sound like... D&D races, and I'm getting them confused.
Face the Strange.
It's called Face the Strange, and they are going to Zangethi space. So perhaps there's something very strange out there in Zangethi space. Anyway, please do join us for that. And if you enjoyed this episode, you can find back episodes of Set Phasers wherever you get your podcasts.
Do, and be sure to check us out on our Patreon at patreon.com/setphasers and on YouTube. We are youtube.com/setphaserspodcast, and we are experimenting with shorts, don't you know?
Do we have to change your hashtag to real game strong?
Maybe. Short game strong?
Short game strong sounds like a, it's not like a baseball term.
I couldn't tell you.
Just short game.
Sports right. Ball. Anyway, that is it from me. I am Stevie Manns.
And I don't remember the coordinates. I remember the path. And this has been Set Phasers, a highly illogical Star Trek podcast.
Computer. End program.
Live long and prosper.